And then I observed a sister who was never happy with anything, never good enough. She always said that the shoes were not comfortable for her and that they were more beautiful this way and that way. Then she was told that beauty was not important here, the shoes here were not that beautiful anyway, it was only about having something under your feet so that you could walk well. Then a brother gave me some of this spiritual material, this spiritual wood, if I may say so, and showed me how to shape it. He put it under his feet and showed the shape of it. Then he said, "Now you have to bend it yourself. You can bend it, because you must not imagine that this is a hard wood like that which people have on earth, which must be sawn or chopped. No, this one can be bent. But it does require some effort, because it is really rough wood. For us here there is no finer one. You can sit down in a corner there for the time being, you have more time than you need for this work now." He showed me a corner and then said, "Now bend this wood with your hands where I scratched it earlier. Then you will at least have something to put under your feet, and then we will fasten it with ribbons." Yes, it turned out that I was clumsy, I couldn't bend the wood. And when someone passed me, I asked them to sit down next to me. I then admired their shoes, asked them when they had made them. Then I showed them my wood, I had to make shoes too, and asked them to bend the wood for me. Sometimes I found a good-natured sister or brother who bent it a little way for me. You could only bend it like that, and then it would come loose. But they only ever showed me a little way, and then they went away again. So it took me a lot of effort until I finally got to the point where I had made a pair of sandals, which I couldn't even call shoes, with my own strength. They brought me flexible rods and showed me how to attach them to the wood, how to pull them in and then attach the sandals to my legs by wrapping the straps around the legs. In fact, it finally got to the point where I had my own shoes. I was really happy about it and I thought I looked quite decent in them. Then the angel met me again, the one with the beautiful scarf. He looked at my feet first and said, "Well, Maria, it's finally come to that. And did you make the shoes yourself?" I answered, "Yes, yes, sometimes a good brother kept me company and helped me." He said, "That's good," and he wanted to leave again. But I was still looking at his beautiful scarf and had also touched it with my hands. But the angel looked back and said, "Maria, it doesn't suit you at all, you can't wear it." "Oh," I replied, "how beautiful I would be in this scarf. My worn-out clothes wouldn't be seen like that anymore." Then the angel said, "Ah, you want to have nicer clothes." "Of course," I replied, "now I have good shoes and I want to have good clothes too." "You can earn them," the angel replied, "but you have to be more diligent and not keep leaving work." Then I wanted to know how I could earn nicer clothes. And he said, "You know, your honesty is not as it should be. You are still thinking about owning other people's property yourself. If someone else has something better, more beautiful than you, you would like to take it from him, just as you did on earth. But that is not possible here. You must learn to just look at other people's property, and you should make an effort to think how beautiful it is to see on others. You should be able to say to yourself, 'Oh, how happy I am that he has something so beautiful.' But without any thought of taking it from him, you should just rejoice in the other person's possessions, without claiming them for yourself. My further task should be nothing other than to walk around in this sphere and admire the little that was there and to rejoice in it, to rejoice that my sister has such a beautiful purse, to rejoice that my brother has this beautiful staff, to rejoice in the brother who made the beautiful bed, and to claim nothing for myself, to be well disposed towards everyone. Yes, I promised to do it. After all, I had to pave my way to the top, and what was asked of me was really a modest task. But more was not to be expected of me, of a being like me, who could not see anything in others without wanting to take it away from them. Because all these desires go with the soul into the spirit realm, into the other world, where one continues to live. I should make up for that. Well, I had promised the angel that I would do it. But then I had an encounter with a sister who said to me, "Oh, you know, I don't like being here all the time, walking around, making an effort to be well disposed towards others. I'm just not ready yet, I'm always drawn back to people. Because just as much as you had to go hungry and go without, I had to do it too. I am going back to the people now, and you can accompany me. We will then go to an inn where people eat and drink, where they are comfortable. Then I eat and drink with them, and I have such a wonderful feeling. I sit down next to the noble people, and they have no idea what a humble being is sitting next to them. So dirty and so shriveled, they act so noble among themselves and have no idea of they are the other world. They do not know what awaits them, and they eat and drink away. So I sit down with pleasure next to them and eat with them. I was amazed and said, I never thought I could still do something like that. And she immediately said, come with me, that's a change. And so I followed her. She actually led me into a town and into a house where people were together. They were eating and drinking wine. It seemed to me that something very precious was being eaten there. And so I sat next to the people and took part in all the good things that were being offered, that is, the spiritual substance of it. I also enjoyed the conversation. Then, when the people had left again, I didn't feel quite so comfortable anymore and I asked the sister, are we even allowed to come back here? I had never thought of that before. Oh yes, she said. Look around, there are so many others here too. Did you think we were the only ones? Everyone goes back and wants to experience something else. Yes, she could be right. I had never seen such sumptuous food, let alone eaten it. I enjoyed it. I had truly eaten with these people. Well, I then returned and arranged with the sister that she should pick me up again. I did not want to go alone. Good, she promised, she would pick me up again. And then, when we met again the next time, to take part in an earthly celebration, to eat and drink, suddenly my angel stood in front of me, the one with the beautiful scarf. He looked at me so penetratingly and raised his hand. I knew enough then. I was no longer going with that sister, and strangely enough he had not cared about her, but only about me. He then walked a little way behind me, and I really had a bad conscience. Because he had told me what I had to observe and I had been disobedient. Then he came up to me and said to me, Mary, why didn't you follow my instructions? I said that I had become weak and that I had been invited. Then the angel said, you will never be able to leave this place if you do not obey. I forbid you, you must not return with that sister, you have no place among people anymore. You must now fulfill your task and if you do not fulfill it, I will punish you. Oh, punish me. I did not dare to ask how and why people are still punished in heaven. That seemed a little strange to me. But I respected and feared him. I then really looked around for everything, as he had recommended. And then I suddenly saw so much that I had previously missed. I saw beautiful gardens with modest flowers. Brothers and sisters worked in them, enjoyed what they had, and I enjoyed them with them. I had no desire to own a garden myself. I had remembered the angel's words, you must learn to enjoy the property of others without wanting to own it. So I always said to myself, I want to enjoy the property of others without owning it. I don't know how long I did that. The angel then came back and said, now we've come a little further, and it's almost time for you to move on. Because remember, you can't stay seated for that long. Why am I staying seated? I asked. Yes, you stayed seated, you're still on the same level, and you have to climb these steps. You must come to the Savior and to the angels. Sometimes you prayed to Mary when you wanted something. Oh yes, I said, when I wanted something, but she didn't always give it to me. Then he said that he would take more care of me in the future and that my development would have to go faster from now on. He had found that I was now ready to let others keep their property and that I hadn't lied to anyone anymore. So he would now lead me a step further, out of this sphere. He led me along a narrow path. It went so quickly that I couldn't even see the surroundings. Suddenly we were on a much nicer plane and then he said, you know, your clothes don't fit here anymore, we have to make sure that you get better clothes. Then he gave me a task, he said to me, Now you have to start learning to pray because you have always turned away from God. You have seen us and you know that we are from God, but you have never asked about God. Now I want to teach you something. I want to tell you about God and about Christ. And when you have understood that, we will move up another level. If you are really serious about it and you have a real desire for the divine and the beautiful, then I can always give you more beautiful clothes. So I had tried. The angel had taught me to pray, but not in the way I knew from earth. He had also sung with me, all alone. I had the impression that this angel was the just for me, and I was so happy. Now I was ready to do everything he told me to do, because now I was also starting to feel good. And so the angel went up with me step by step. But then he said to me, "You know, the further we go up, the greater your tasks will be. I should also be taught more things." And he told me that when I was completely spiritually strong, a new path would be open to me, a new life on earth. I could gain infinitely much through a single new life. But before you can enter this new life, you have to be well prepared. You have to have served heaven first, have been useful to it. But I said to the angel, "But I don't want to return to earth to go hungry and go without again. I might get the idea of having to beg again and claim other people's property. I didn't want to return to earth because I was afraid I might become weak again in the human body." But the angel said, "No, you won't have to return until you are strong enough and we can dare you to defy the many temptations that life offers." So I slowly ascended. I carried out the tasks and the angel remained a loyal companion throughout my ascension and he promised me that he would continue to hold his protective hands over me when I was born into the earthly kingdom again as a human being. Now that I am telling you all this, I am amazed at my own behavior in those days. But if you can imagine yourselves in that great poverty and ignore all comforts, you can perhaps understand that in my lifetime it was a luxury or a wealth to have a pair of Sunday shoes in addition to your working shoes, and to wear one garment all your life. But for people today it is probably difficult to imagine that it was once like that. Well, the angels and the whole divine world, by that I mean all the heavenly beings, are so lenient with such poor primitives and unschooled people when they come back. You are allowed to go to schools, you take writing, reading and much more for granted. In my lifetime writing and reading were considered an art. If you can imagine yourselves in those circumstances, you can perhaps understand the great tolerance that God's angels showed me. Anyone who enters the soul world today is dealt with more forcefully if he has not kept the commandments, if he has not lived according to Christian principles, and this is quite simply because more is expected of him today. He has a much wider field of vision, is more intelligent and can expand his intelligence. He can do more than write and calculate, he can think. God now demands more of him, that he can distinguish what one should do and what one should not do. The spiritual world behaves accordingly towards him. It will perhaps not be as tolerant as it was with me and many others. If someone now returns from a life like yours, he is asked, "What have you done with what God gave you in life? With your thinking, with your intelligence? How far has your faith progressed? Where do you stand in your faith in God?" Such questions are asked because these questions have been discussed a lot in human life. Thus, higher demands are made by the angelic world. Well, dear brothers and sisters, I have tried to put myself back to that time as best as possible, which means that I was helped. If you have any questions, you can still ask our brother. I will withdraw and leave you all to God's blessing and protection. Greetings from God. After Mary's remarks, spirit friend Joseph spoke up to answer questions from the audience. Dear Joseph, did this soul only receive teachings after her ascension? Joseph, she was, even if it was not emphasized, already in the simplest form beforehand about the customs in the spirit world. Souls like this Mary must first be beyond their primitiveness before more can be demanded of them. If this is achieved and they are also well-intentioned, then a lot has already been achieved. As they advance, they are continually trained, and in the upper or, the higher levels, Things then progress all the more eagerly, and only then can they be enlightened about higher things. Are the souls of the deceased of primitive peoples of today also received and treated with such care? Joseph: Yes, that is the case. The members of such peoples have their own spheres and their own special care. But even there you must always make a distinction between the well-intentioned and the malicious. Among such primitive people, such as Mary, there are also some who are quite malicious, but they are then completely separated and are made to work in a special sphere. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Mary and questions answered by spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Court in Caldenstress, Zurich. Original, Eon tape recording and first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt. Next case, May 1, 1963. Next case, Sebastian, change of heart of a religious fanatic. How can you get a soul to abandon its one-sided, fanatical thinking? With Sebastian, God's world tried various ways. Control spirit. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, a spirit brother is speaking to you by the name of Sebastian. May God's blessing be upon you all. God bless you. Sebastian. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Sebastian. I would like to briefly touch on my life. I tried to work for God during my life. I then found out in my new world that I had done many things wrong. Because during my lifetime I had always asked people to come to my home, I prayed and sang with them and told them what I believed was right. I told them about the Last Judgment, about God's punishment. But in doing so I had not acted according to God's wish and will. I had believed that I would help those people on their way and made them aware of God, that God would punish all unjust people severely and that one day they would face this judgment. I had simply explained it out of my own mind and believed that it was right. I simply felt compelled to explain it that way. I had my followers and many people came to me and prayed in my house. But apparently people in this new world were not happy with my way of life either. Because when I came here and entered this world of truth, many things became clear to me, of course, and immediately. So many things were different from what I had told those friends and acquaintances. I had believed that I was a fighter for God, but I had taught many people wrongly. I did not do it out of malice, but I was now told that I had been hasty and thoughtless. I should have waited for the inspiration of a Holy Spirit. But I never gave him the opportunity to say anything. I simply acted as I saw fit. And now, when I came into this new world, I was faced with these angels. They didn't have to say much to me. I knew now, you continued to live. You had left your body behind, and your whole personality was now in the depths of your soul. You continued to think like a human being and were able to act like a human being, as long as you didn't give your full attention to this new environment. But if you gave your full attention to this environment, you realized that you had done a lot wrong, interpreted a lot wrongly. Of course, I regretted that. And those who stood before me said that I had to give an account of these things, because one cannot simply presume to teach people about the Word of God if one has too little knowledge oneself, especially if one does not live one's life according to God's holy will. One must therefore give an account of everything. One must not act wrongly for the kingdom of God on earth. One will be held accountable for it. I tried to make it clear to the angels that I had done it out of goodwill. Out of what was called overzealousness. They did not really listen when I tried to defend myself, but said that they would come back to it later. But first I had to get used to the new world. I was now in a new world and had to try to understand it. They explained to me that I could now move into a house, that a dwelling was ready for me. I knew this sentence, this statement by Jesus, about the dwelling, John 14:2. And they said, a dwelling is ready for you. Whether you like it is another question, but you have the opportunity to act and live in such a way that you can get yourself a nice apartment. But for now you have to make do with this apartment and you have to try to get along with the others. You are now coming into the community of prison life, and you must try to understand the others. With that, they showed me to a house and said that I would be taken to the right place. Then they didn't pay much attention to me anymore. I was full of these new impressions. And when I entered the house, two or three people came up to me, and when I looked at them more closely, I saw that they were acquaintances of mine. They had lived in my village, but I hadn't had a particularly close relationship with them, but they were known to me. And so I was happy to meet acquaintances in this new world. They greeted me and said that they would now show me my place, where I could live, and they did. The house was modest. I hadn't lived in abundance on earth either. So I actually had nothing to complain about with this environment so far. I had come to terms with it, although I had actually expected heaven to shine in variety and splendor and all its beauty. Of course, I did not find this, but I expected that I would perhaps experience this splendor later. And so it didn't really bother me that I was now living in a very modest house and in modest surroundings, because the others weren't any better off. Well, the house seemed quite big, and I had the feeling that there were quite a lot of people there. I was not introduced to the others, but was told that it would just happen naturally that I would get into contact with the others and have conversations. And these former acquaintances also promised to come and see me again. But then I suddenly felt so tired and wanted to rest a bit. I felt as if I could really sleep. It was clear to me that dying was also an effort. Even if you left your earthly body behind, something new began. You entered a new world, you woke up in a new world, and although you now had a spiritual body and it was clear to you that you had left your old body behind, you still felt tired. And so I just wanted to rest a little. I was then given the opportunity to do so. I was shown into a room. It wasn't particularly big, it was simple and had a bed. And so I just wanted to lie down, just sleep, rest and then see what happened next. But I couldn't sleep. Suddenly others started singing and making noise and I couldn't sleep. This noise disturbed me so much. Then I got up and looked for my acquaintances, but couldn't find them. But then I started talking to others. And then I saw how many people lived in this house, and so it was actually understandable to me that there was so much noise in this house. But then I asked whether there might not be certain moments when it would be a little quieter. I complained to them about my tiredness, that I wanted to sleep, and whether there might not be a possibility of moving somewhere else, because one should be given the opportunity to sleep. They said, "Oh yes, that shouldn't bother you anymore. You will soon get used to this noise." But that was not the case. I could not get used to the noise and I could not sleep. They wouldn't let me sleep. Now I naturally had the opportunity to think about my life and then I left the house. Because I felt so tired, I made myself a stick nearby that I could lean on. But I had another purpose for this stick. I wanted to try to make amends in this new world for what I had, as I now realized, done wrong during my lifetime. The others were there together, singing and praying, as it seemed to me, but I wanted to tell them all that I had tried to work for God in my earthly life and that if you wanted to please God you would definitely have to act differently than they would in this house. So I wanted to reprimand them, so to speak. I wanted to tell them that they should behave a little more decently and not make so much noise, that they should pray quietly, as God would certainly not be pleased with all this noise. It seemed to me that this house was a real folk festival, and I did not like that. And I thought that my staff might still be of use to me. I wanted to stand up right in front of them with this staff and call on them all to change. Actually, in short, I wanted to teach them how to behave in the afterlife, once they were already there. That was my attitude. So I made this staff. At first it served as a support for me, because I thought I was tired and needed to sleep. Then I went back to my room and left the staff right next to me. Now, to my disappointment, I realized that these friends even came to my apartment, that is, to my room. They asked me to get up, sing and pray with them. But I said, "No, I want to have some peace now." They did not listen to my request and they walked around, coming in and going out and making noise, singing and cheering. And I had no peace. I found it outrageous. I had been assigned this room, But there was not even a corner in this heavenly world where one could be alone and pray. Then I even realized that they had taken my staff away from me. I no longer had a staff. Now I also had the intention of driving them out of my apartment somewhat roughly, but I didn't succeed. The others were in superior numbers. Then I went out of my house into the open air and wanted to make myself a new staff. And then I saw immediately what was happening with my first staff. There were some people tying or raising up the bushes in front of the house to this staff. I went up to them and said that this was my staff and that they certainly didn't have to raise up the bushes here, because they were growing like this according to God's holy will and that they should leave it as it was. They laughed at me and said that they had been there much longer than me, that I was a newcomer and that they wouldn't follow my lead. And as for the staff, it was not the case that one considered it one's property. Such things were considered common property, because they also belonged to heaven. They had just taken the opportunity to straighten up these bushes a little, because flowers were blooming here and they would be much easier to see that way. But I told them that they could then prepare such a stick themselves. They didn't have to use mine. But they didn't understand that. They thought that it was common property. Now I didn't bother with it any further. But I couldn't go into my apartment, so I walked around the area and wanted to take a closer look. Actually, I wanted to go in search of a spirit of God, one who was responsible for the management of this house. I imagined that this house too must be under management, because my thought was, we are now in the kingdom of God, and in the kingdom of God there is order. And I actually found those who had greeted me on my return and assigned me to this house. I complained to them of my suffering and told them that I could not possibly live in this house, that I could not have a minute's peace, there was nothing but noise here. And they told me that I just had to get used to it, that I had to try to get along with all of them and that I must not behave as I had done, that I had no right to reprimand the others. Then they said to me, "Look, you think you have to come here and put things in order, but there is still great disorder in your inner being. First put your own soul in order before you think you have the right to put things in order in this house." I did not really understand what they meant by saying that my soul was still in disorder. So I asked, "What is wrong with me? I believe in God, I believe in Christ, and I pray. I have done many things wrong, I know that. But that does not mean that my soul is in disorder." "But," they said, "your soul, your feelings are still in great disarray. You are not capable of getting along with the others. And you must learn to get along with the others. You must not be outraged by the noise, but you must try to go with them. There is nothing wrong with what they are doing. If they are happy, share their happiness, and if they sing, sing with them, and if they pray, pray with them." But I found that the others were in disarray. Then I went back, because I believed that it would not do much good to contradict these high beings. But I simply could not share the opinion of the others, to sing with them. I did not like this singing. I could not pray like them either, I wanted to be alone. But the corner that had been assigned to me did not belong to me personally, the others came and went and I could not find peace. So I left the house. I then moved a little further away from the house. Then I saw a river. I went to the river and walked a little way along its bank and I had the feeling that there was more peace here. But then I met two beings. They were angels of God. You can tell immediately when they are angels of God. I did not want to speak to them because I was afraid that they would reject me. But they asked me why I was going this way, why I was not in my home and in the company of my friends. So I complained to them about my suffering and said that it was impossible for me to live in this noise. They looked at each other and said, "Noise? Oh, that is not noise, they are happy and you must try to share the joy with them." "No, I cannot do that," I answered and asked, "Is it not possible for me to be taken to another house, to a house where at least there is not as much noise as there?" They said, "Oh yes, of course you can. You just have to ask for it to be made possible for you." So I asked how I should do that and the two of them agreed to take on the matter. They then came into the house with me, and everyone who saw us did not come to meet me, but to meet these two beings, and greeted them with joy, as if they were old acquaintances. I was a little ashamed that those who were making such noise were also greeted so joyfully by these two angels. And then these angels said, "We have to take this brother away, he cannot get along with you."